I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh. I like having fun. To meet people who laugh. Show. It is always in this universe. It is always Thursday, August 20th, 2020, here in Glendale, California, coming from the Heidecker compound. Vic Berger has moved into the Heidecker compound. He is now living in one of our guest houses, and hopefully he won't find reason to leave the show and start his own good morning show where he discusses the news of the day and takes super chats. Join us in the super chat, by the way. Throw us some cash. If you're not a member of the Patreon, it is your patriotic duty to support the Holy Trinity. If you do send us a few $5 or more, Doug will be watching and acknowledging you, because that's what it takes. Cold hard cash. Join Patreon at patreon.com/officehourslive and subscribe to this channel here on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Uh-oh. I think I lost my voice.
Who cares?
Doing that big opening. Obviously, we are adding a new camera to the format of the show, which is very exciting. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Tim.
I'm sorry.
The Holy Trinity.
Good morning, boys.
More. The Holy Trinity.
Good morning, Tim.
I hate these people like me, for instance, who have these giant water things, and they're like, you see them in a lot of Zoom, you know, I'm in a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of important meetings, and you just see guys.
Well, what's the alternative, though? I mean, just
little glasses, little cups,
straws.
People are so hydrated nowadays.
And now you'll see I'm going to have to wee-wee in a few minutes. All right, well, that's our show. I have nothing more to add. Thank you, everybody, for your diet tips. The big reaction last week was from Coach Josh, who was encouraging a protein-rich diet. And right away, there was pushback on that. I respect Coach Josh, but there were people that right away said, no, Tim, you got to do more of a fiber-based, plant-based diet. Don't do the – stop eating meat. And I've always – you know, I've gone through – I've tried that before. And I have to tell you, it hit this – somehow it hit me harder this time. And basically, since last week, I've just been eating fruits and vegetables and beans and nuts.
The Holy Trinity.
More. Yes, Tim. Yes.
And it feels good. I feel alive again. Yes. I'm back.
Yes.
Tim. And
thank you, Tim.
You know, I haven't told you this yet, Doug, and everybody. I haven't told anybody this, but I've lost 25 pounds since last week. 25
since last week.
Yeah.
Wowee.
And partly because I got my foot bitten off by a dog. But. What happened, you know, I've been doing these mega walks. I've been walking just because, A, there's nothing to do. There's lots of time to kill in the day. I know it's not the case for
you. Did you lose that much weight for real?
No, I didn't lose. I've lost like 3 pounds or something.
Yeah, I don't have enough time to do anything.
But I'm able to find a couple hours in the morning where I could just go. And I live on a hill, so I walk down the hill. I walk up another hill, and I walk back down that hill, and then walk back up my hill, okay? And it averages around 6 to 7 miles, and sometimes I'll do a little more. So I've been really enjoying it, and it's been hot. It's fine to do a bed. It's fine to do a bed for this story. I think it's fine.
Now, Tim, when you get back from your walk, do you reward yourself with a big chocolate cake?
No, I just have a bunch of water. And I tell you, I love it, and I'm texting, and I'm doing phone calls or doing stuff. I'm being productive on the walk. But I'll tell you what happened yesterday. I got some new sneakers, and they're Allbirds, which I like. I mean, it's not a commercial for them, but Allbirds.com. I love them. They make good shoes. Not a commercial or anything, but this is a new pair of running shoes, and I should have known this, but for a cheat, you know.
What's that music?
I keep thinking, I'm so lucky I haven't gotten any blisters. I haven't gotten any blisters. I'm talking to you.
Okay. No blisters.
So I'm blessed. I said, I haven't got any blisters, so I put these new shoes on about a halfway through the hike.
12 steps later?
No, halfway through the hike. So picture this. I'm not doing a loop. I'm like, you know, I've got to walk back the 3 or 4 miles, right? So about 3 or 4 miles into the walk, I feel it on the back of my ankle. I feel the rub.
Okay.
I feel the rub, and I think, well, let me see if I can push through this for a little bit. Push through. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't know. It's in that place behind my ankle where, can we get my piano cam on the back of my heel, maybe, somebody? That could be cool.
Are you going to?
Somebody can
are
do
gonna
that. Are
you going to do like that?
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Vic, who's that author that?
Oh, Joyce Carol Oates.
Don't pull a Joyce Carol Oates on us, Tim.
Why not? That got a lot of hits. I mean, that's so. What happened was, look at this. Look at the back of my feet. So, what happened was, actually, this one's much worse. You can't see because of the Band-Aids, but you could tell. But so what happened is, the pain it quickly became unbearable. And, you know, I decide my only option is to take my shoes off. Huh? So I end up walking 3.5 miles back to my house in my socks.
The pounding.
And then I start trying, because that starts hurting in its own way, right?
The pounding.
That my socks start ripping underneath. And then I'm like, well, I'll put the shoes on, but I won't put them all the way on, you know? So I'll be like, so I'm like walking up this hill, hobbling up with my shoes half on.
You know, birds aren't really known for their walking, so why would you name your shoes after birds? All birds.
Whoa, I'm sorry, I have to break in here with some news.
Uh-oh.
Let's bring a Zoomer in. Matt, give me anybody. It does not matter. It does not matter.
Why?
I have breaking news.
Breaking news?
I had somebody. Wait,
you should have many. You should have many.
Is this entertainment news, Tim?
It is entertainment news. I encourage everybody to open up a new tab. Or if you insist on opening a new window, open a new window in Chrome or Safari. Type in a wonderful site, a Hollywood site known as Deadline.com.
Turn it up.
Vaughn, you're on.
Vaughn?
Hello. To you.
Vaughn, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay.
Vaughn?
Standing up.
Vonnie, my love.
Yes.
Vaughn, by the way, is the longtime chat moderator of the chat here on Office Hours. She's been I'd like to think of her maybe sort of as a hall monitor.
Yeah.
You've donated your time to this. It's unbelievable. You care about me. You care about the quality of the chat. You want to make sure that it's not filled with jerks. Right?
Yes.
Is it exhausting? Is it stressful?
Sometimes there are some people that don't get it.
Nope.
Don't get it.
F them. And, you know, start banning people entirely, by the way.
Okay.
I'll give you that permission to fully remove people from the Heidecker.
I'll start fucking banning people from Patreon.
Here it is. Now, Vaughn, you're clearly sitting down. You're clearly sitting down, which we love.
I'm not standing up at all.
Oh, you are?
No, I said I'm not.
Okay, good. Here is the news. This is from Deadline. The headline from Deadline reads as such. Showtime orders Moonbase 8. Comedy series from Fred Armisen, Tim Heidecker, John C. Reilly, and Jonathan Kreisel. Showtime has picked up Moonbase 8, a half-hour workplace comedy series from Portlandia co-creators Fred Armisen, Jonathan Kreisel, Tim Heidecker, John C. Riley. It's
bonus.
Slated. This is the key, gang. This is slated to premiere this fall.
Oh, thank God.
Thank Jesus. God, everybody. Come on. Let's get it. Clap. Oh my Let's clap God, together. Let's clap together.
Oh, one, two, three, four.
Thank God. Let's hear it, Zoomers. Come on. Let me hear it. Let me see you. And your answer, your prayers have been answered. There's more content. Now, who has Showtime? Who doesn't? We're not going to get into that.
It's Showtime.
There you go. All right. That's the big news. Let's all pat myself on the back. Vaughn, what else is going on?
Holy shit.
How exciting is that for you? First reaction.
I've been wondering about that for a long time because all your other works has been like kind of coming out. But that Moonbase 8, it seemed like it took like 2 years for that to come out.
It took forever.
What the heck is going on?
And I will talk in the coming months much more about the process by which this kind of went down, a very strange road by which it is coming out, mostly because John and Fred and I and Jonathan Kreisel decided to try to do the whole, make the whole show sort of on spec with A24. So we did not have a network associated with it. And it's a very big, scary thing to go around and say, hey, here's a show we made, 6 episodes. It's not going to be cheap for you. What do you want it? Mm-hmm. And it took a while for people to wrap their heads around that. A lot of these places, they want to develop the show themselves, you know. So, anyways, it's huge news. It's a big relief. I can't tell you exactly the day it's going to come out, but that'll come soon. There'll be a trailer. There'll be billboards. I'll be doing every talk show you can imagine. I'll probably be doing
fucking
everything.
Sick.
You're going to see me on the Fallon show and the Colbert show and the Report. And Charlie Rose, if he's still working. And Joe Rogan, I'll sit down with Joe Rogan. I'll sit down and do my three hours with him.
I'm a fucking bona fide moron.
You know? And I'll call out his bullshit like Bill Barr did.
Do you smoke cigars?
I do have one question.
Go ahead, Vaughn.
We will have Barr on some point.
What about, somebody was mentioning this, what about the stand-up special? Is that coming out?
That's coming out too.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You know what I'm doing with that? Like 99% chance. That's coming out here on this channel here, okay. On my channel. Oh, I'm on nice. The YouTube channel.
Nice. It sounds like Good a dope plans. Band.
Do you hear me, Matt Van Dam? Do you hear me, Jason Mott? Do you hear me, Dan Daugherty? Do you hear me, Marianne? Do you hear me, Zach Cutley? Cutley? Cutkey? I'm tired. I'm tired.
shit my pants.
That's the news. I think that's going to come out in October, frankly, to be honest with you.
Oh, they're clever.
Big, lots going on, folks. I want to just get to everything. I want to talk quickly about Steve Bannon was arrested this morning, naturally.
No.
She did. She just asked me about the stand-up special.
I think she had something else.
You have something else, Vaughn?
No.
Oh, that's
good.
It?
I mean,
thank you.
Yeah.
Matt, you have to
let her go.
You have to
let her get back to work.
Matt, you have to start doing a better job.
The chat is going nuts. There's like mayhem in there. We need to let her get back to work.
Oh, yes, please. Go put out some fires, Vaughn.
I'm trying, but I can't do as good a job.
Thank you so much for your service.
Well, you want to thank you.
Let's hear it for Vaughn.
Right.
Long time friend and fan of the show. I also know something about Vaughn is she's a big David Byrne fan.
Whoa.
I think I rival.
When Bannon was arrested, did a SWAT team break the door down in the middle of the night and just start shooting random people sleeping? Or
they took him off a boat. He was on a boat that he had apparently was renting. Was he living on the boat or just vacationing?
He was renting a boat. Seems like a boat owner kind of guy.
Know that.
The bloat was on a boat. We were joking around earlier about Trump. What his reaction to this news of Bannon being arrested? Can I get some helicopter noise? Because this is going to be how it goes. Trump's walking out of the White House on his way to his helicopter, and
Sir,
the reporters are there.
Mr. Trump.
Hello. What?
Mr. Trump.
Say again.
Steve Bannon was arrested earlier today. Do you have any comment?
Who's that?
Steve Bannon. He was. I think he was part of your administration.
Yes, I don't know much about that. I haven't been following that too closely. I've heard something about it. I know Steve a little bit. Honestly, I don't know him very well. He's a guy who's an interesting guy. He's been...
Do you know why he was arrested?
He said some excuse me. This is a guy who said some terrible things about me. And frankly, you know, he said some very good things about me, too. So, well, we have to wait and see. We don't know. I don't know. I haven't been watching much about it. What happened?
Have you been on his boat?
What?
Sir.
No. I gotta go. I gotta run. I wish him all the best. So.
I wish him well.
I wish him well. All right, Matt, give me somebody else, please. Somebody to wish me well, considering all the great news.
Was he in his administration? Phil in there.
Oh, Phil?
Vic? Or was he just like part of his campaign?
He was the campaign manager.
Phil's been cagey. Where's Phil?
He was the head of Breitbart years ago.
Phil, raise your hand. Where are you? Are you still in there?
Yeah.
Where'd Phil go?
I don't. If you can't find him, let's move on.
Uncle Phil?
Uncle Phil is back. This is. Oh, here he is. Hi, Phil.
Matt, is there a way to set up a VIP room in the Zoom?
Oh, God, you know? I wish.
Because I've seen these people that have these, like, side rooms in Zoom. Could be an idea.
I'll look into that. Here's Phil.
Breakout rooms.
Hey guys.
Phil.
What's up, Phil?
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. I'm on top of the world.
Good. I'm glad to be back. Kind of...
Yeah, what was the deal with you? There's so many callers. I don't remember what the deal with you was.
Yeah. Well, just to, you know, the elephant in the room, I guess, was, you know, we had a little falling out. We have since sort of gotten that piece together and mended and put to bed. And, you know, you guys reached out to me and said, you know, this show's kind of been floundering and kind of welcomed me back.
Who did that? I didn't say anything, but did Matt?
Yeah, that's
Matt
exactly
said that?
What happened. And it's my turn to talk here now. But, so you guys welcomed me back. The show wasn't doing well. And I said, okay, I'll come back. I agreed to admit that the headphones that I had were set to microphone. And you guys agreed to admit that the show needed me back, so here I am. I'm back.
Okay, well, welcome back. Oh, I don't know. I don't really get into the details of regular callers like yourself. I mean, obviously, I'm talking to the people, Hollywood stars, cool, and
I'm more than a regular caller. I think everybody would admit that. And I turned down a big podcast offer with Frank Stallone and turned him down to come back here.
Okay.
I was just about set to be a regular on Frank's show. Yeah.
Well, don't feel like you need to be exclusive with us. If you feel like you want to do other podcasts, by all means. I don't know if they have their own exclusivity, that's their business. But I'm not interested in having some kind of exclusive deal with a guy that calls into the show every once in a while.
Glad you could drop in.
But we encourage anybody to call in.
I was going to. His show is called Frankly Speaking, The Way Things Were.
Okay.
And he's got a bunch of great bits. He's got the jit bag of the day. He's got a couple of great Asian characters he likes to make fun of, and the Native American character is really, really funny.
Uh-huh.
But I had a character where I started making fun of an Italian guy, and then he booted me off of that show.
He what?
So I'm no longer associated with Frank, but I have a big announcement today. That's the real reason I'm here. I got
okay. We have a lot of announcements today, a lot of news today. So why don't you give us the news, and we can move on with the show.
All right. September 11th, Gettython is going to happen. Everybody's been waiting for this. Gettython, the tweet that got to 2,112 retweets, is going to happen. September 11th is going to be the day that nobody forgets because of Gettython. So,
yes. All right. Well, that's incredibly insensitive to the thousands of Americans who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001. I would suggest considering an alternate date. Thank you, Phil. Anything else?
Anyway,
I don't like that band Rush anyway, so I think I spoke about this last week.
Ask the Lemon Twigs about Rush. Everybody loves Rush, so.
No, they're kind of a niche group, and they're not for everybody. I have nothing against them personally, but. Huh?
They are for everybody.
Okay. Then we can disagree. Have a great one, Phil. Maybe we'll talk to you around Thanksgiving or early next year.
I'll be back next week.
Okay. Anatole and Chuck enjoyed that moment there. Anatole and Chuck, what did you think of Phil's big announcement?
I think he needs to step on the brakes a little bit, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think he needs to reassess a lot of things. How are you guys doing? Where are you calling from?
We're calling from New Rochelle, New York.
Okay.
New to the Zoom.
I'm new to Rochelle.
Okay.
What's the matter with old Rochelle, Doug?
It got boring over there. They had to make a new one.
Well, if this is fresh and light and what's happening in New Rochelle, then I don't know what to do with you.
Much better than old Rochelle.
Yeah. So what are you guys up to today? It's a Thursday and you're just hanging out.
Yeah, I'm working from home, so thought we'd jump in.
Are you dressed like me today? You got everyone's in black?
Yeah.
I got my Frasier shirt.
It's a classic look. You can't forget that.
Okay.
There's Kelsey Grammer heads here.
Okay.
Hey, let's, by the way, I have to rush because thank you for watching. We have the city of the day to get to, Matt.
Oh, geez.
We have not even gotten into the city of the day. I was not going to forget. I'm running a professional show.
Did anyone crack the code yet?
City of the day. City of the day is brought to you by Last Month of a Dog, Dog of the Month Club. Reap all the rewards of dog ownership, but without the years of commitment. The Last Month of a Dog, Dog of the Month Club offers you a new old furry friend every month with an ironclad guarantee that the hound will pass within 4 weeks maximum. Simply register online with your preferred breed or size and you'll receive your first elderly dog within days. Take your pooch to the park or one last road trip or just pal around before your dog goes gently into that good night. Your Facebook wall will be full. Sunny days are here again. Hi, this is Tim Heidecker, your Office Hours host, letting you know about Factor Meals. It's time to meet your wellness goals in time for the summer, and Factor is here to help you. They've got chef-crafted meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're dietitian approved and will help you kickstart a new healthy routine for the summer. I know you're all asking, what are Tim's current top faves? Well, I'll tell you. The filet mignon and mushroom risotto and the calorie-smart Greek chicken and tomato penne pasta. Those are my top picks that you just can't go wrong with. But guess what? They have 35 different meal options every week with over 60 add-ons available. So if you can't find something you like, well, that's on you, buddy. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code officehours50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Ys. Movies, baby!
Feed that your dog has passed. And then your Facebook feed will fill with hearts up, will fill with hearts again after every month hereafter as you proudly post a new pic upon every old dog's arrival. Not satisfied with your dog? No problem. Put it down any day you like with our euthanasian injections. Euthanasian injections included with every order. Hell, send them to heaven on day one if you want. We won't ask when your best friend drops. Better luck next time when a new pooch arrives the following month. Last month, club's not
responsible. Run these sponsors past us before we sign off on these.
What's the problem? Last month is not responsible for any property damage due to incontinence, behavioral problems, or for any burial or religious services upon death. Order now, and last month, club will throw in a free doggy bag for your dog's cadaver. And don't forget to ask about our home cremation kit. Easily turn any oven into a crematorium.
A great big bulldog.
Last month club is perfect for anyone who needs companionship but doesn't want a needy young dog that will bog down their life when the pandemic lifts. Act now and use the checkout code Office Hours Live to receive a 2 free month trial to our delicious final meal of the month club. Bad Boys Ted Bundy, Jeff Dahmer, and John Wayne Gacy all received a last meal. Why shouldn't your good boy doggy receive one? Your pup might be on his last legs, but his stomach is ready to chow down for one last hearty meal. Our chefs use the highest quality ingredients to make each final meal something special that your woof woof will enjoy. In a dinner you will remember forever. Each final meal comes with a main course, a one-time use sealed dog bowl of filtered water sourced from some of the finest springs.
You'll remember the meal.
What? What'd you say?
What? It's the meal you'll remember.
Yes. Oh, by the way, a one-time use sealed dog bowl of filtered water, as well as a chocolate dessert. Yes, chocolate has been known to be fatal to dogs, but this is their last meal, so just relax and let your doggy enjoy it, okay? So that is last month of a Dog of the Month Club.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if I would participate in that. I already have a dog. It's a very strange... Good luck to the company. I don't know. It seems like a lot of hassle, but, good luck to them, honestly.
You do love your dogs, don't you?
You know, just get off Facebook. Don't worry about these Facebook likes. You don't have to do this.
Let's get first reactions off the last month of a Dog of the Month Club, Matt. I'm curious to think what the audience thinks of this. Really, truly a gruesome idea. How grim would that be every month getting a new dog that you know is Ferris? What do you think of that?
Zach.
Oh, I
don't want to see this guy with his shirt off and his tattoos.
We're gonna get to the city too. Don't forget Matt.
Oh, we forgot the city.
Yeah, forgot the city.
I'll get to the city. Believe me, I'm in total control.
But I mean,
put a shirt on and then you can talk to me.
I think it's a fine service because those dogs, where are they gonna go? A lot of people don't have.
But who's the jerk that wants to get rid of this dog at the last month?
I don't really know. By the way, it's Fair Oaks, California. Fair Oaks, California is the hometown of Joe Carnahan, who directed the 2006 action thriller Smokin' Aces, which only received a 30% on Rotten Tomato, unfortunately. But, a lot of great movies get bad reviews. The weather there is, of course, with all of California, as we know, guys, high of 98. Low of, Doug, this will take you for a little bit of a ride. Sorry to give too much away here, but high of 98, low of?
101. Okay, low of, take me for a ride. I'm going to say 72.
65, bruh.
Are you crazy?
Wow.
You
might is it a mountain town? I don't know. I don't know much more about it except that it's the home of Joe Carnahan.
It's got to be up in the elevation.
Director of Smokin' Aces. what did you think of last month of a dog of the month club, my friend who now is shirted?
I thought it was a good idea. I kind of have the same thing going with cats. I've had 3 cats go missing on me in the last 2 years. So, I'm kind of
cats don't belong. Cats aren't good pets. They don't belong in homes.
They should be indoors. Let's phase them out.
In and out of people's lives. I'm allergic to cats. They have no place in my home, that's for sure.
So who are the animals? Because I don't smell them.
Anyways, what else you got on your mind there, Zach?
I apologize if you've talked about this before, but I really love Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan's Girl from the North Country.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious if you've heard it, because it's like one of the worst songs. You'd expect it to be great because it's Johnny and Bob, but it's so awful. Mm. It's so bad.
Well, you sound pretty dim. Honestly.
Have you heard it, though?
Of course. It's on Nashville Skyline.
Yeah, yeah. And they
I'm sure you could do much better.
Who cares?
You got a hard eye, so it's
why don't you get more tattoos on your chest? Go ahead. Stick a needle in your fucking pecs.
More.
Hey, got it.
Nut.
More. Boy.
More.
Listen.
I will.
More.
More. No, I more. Like it. I have no problem with that. I think... I mean, they have very. It's not the greatest harmony, I guess, but it's a beautiful song.
And they mess up the lyrics.
Well, they're all on amphetamines. They were high as kites making that shit.
I love records.
I just know they just hit record and like we're Bob and
we'll
Johnny.
We'll riff it, man.
Tim, who is this now? Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson.
Bob Dylan.
Oh,
one of the stars of our show and hasn't appeared, but. Feels like he's on the docket every week.
Bob Dylan's your dealer.
Yeah, that song makes me cry. It's so bad. Like,
well, don't listen to it. Who's putting a gun to your head?
What's the best album made on amphetamines, Tim?
What's the best?
Off the top, like, what do you top five? I'm gonna say Wonderwall by Oasis.
Okay. I don't really. I mean, I would say
Zombie by the Cranberries.
I'd say probably.
True?
I would say Blonde on Blonde by Bob Dylan. I think there's probably a lot of uppers going on with that record.
Okay.
Anyways,
he's not smoking meth. He's like some like,
pills, baby. Pills
like World War II flighter of
fighter pilot
fighter
stuff.
Pilot kind of stuff.
I don't know. Why don't we get some drug expert on to talk about it?
Bring him in.
I don't know anything about it.
Let's see if our first guest, official guest,
Hitler on meth footage.
Let's slow the pace.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, let's slow the pace down a little bit here. Let's have some respect because we have an acclaimed author coming on the show, Sarah Schaefer, and I want to show her a tremendous respect.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm so good.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
What's happening? It's been. Yeah, it's been.
It's been a while.
It's been I was looking through my old photos and found a really lovely picture of you, me, my wife, and my 1-year-old daughter up in Nevada City, California.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only time I met you, and that was
I think of that trip often. It was such a lovely time.
It was wonderful. We were swimming in the water, you do in the river. And you know who the conduit there was? Good old Doug Lusenhop, who's right here behind me.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Doug. You know, I don't want to speak against your sponsors or anything, but I tried Last Month Club. And
oh, you did?
I did. And it was actually, I was actually really disappointed because the dog, the first one they sent, it lived for years.
Oh, no.
And that's not what I signed up for.
No. So did the dog start piling up at your door? Like,
yeah, like they don't do a quality check.
Right. You know, did you take advantage of the euthanasia needle that they
they must have just added that.
That's a new that's a new feature. That's a new.
Right. They had to, after the numerous complaints.
Do you know what, Sarah? We have a good time, the boys and I, coming up with these stupid ideas here, as comedians do. And there's always that moment where you go, this is fucked. Like, this is a fucked bad. This is a fucked idea. But, and I was telling the guys, I once had a meeting with like a Hollywood producer who wanted to maybe do a move. Like, he was like, what kind of ideas do you have? What do you, you know, like maybe we could figure out something to do together and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I have this one idea that involves this killing of a dog. But it would be like a horror movie. But he was like, nah, you can't do, like, that's a rule. You cannot kill a dog in a movie. Can't do it. If you want it to be the, you know.
Only the bad guy can.
Only the bad guy can kill a dog.
John Wick, right?
So
that's what that's based on?
Yeah. So, but thank you for.
These are basic rules.
Thank you for punching up or adding to, or what would you call comedically what you did there?
Yes, anding.
Yes, anding. So what? So how's your pandemic going? How's your quarantine going? Are you in Los Angeles or?
I'm in Silver Lake, and it's been. It's
yes,
been.
Man.
Make me do it.
It has been a real ride, you know. I've been gardening, and that's about it. And I had a book come out, which was like.
Well, we
a
can't
weird
speak.
Time.
We won't have time to get to that today. wait. So yeah, let's talk about your book. So, first of all, book is called Grand, right?
Grand. Yeah. I'll show it to you.
Is this about the? Yeah. There's the cover. That's a real book.
It's a real book. This is a legit book. It's not like how to be a girl boss. Like it's not like that. It's like a legit memoir.
Who wrote the book, though? My question is.
It was really, you know, it was a community effort. No, yeah.
I got a room together.
We did months of beating out the beats.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you say.
The chapters.
Just read my book. Yeah.
So how did you, I want to know so much about this because obviously I should write a memoir.
You should.
But it would be almost like in several volumes. That's what they're saying.
Almost.
Most of the editors and publishers are saying we want to do it, but it would be too many volumes.
That's how I felt when I started it. I was like, there's way too much.
Yeah, how do you focus in on, like, because your story is really about something that happened to you in childhood.
Yeah, so the book basically takes on, I go on this trip when I turned 40 on this Grand Canyon whitewater rafting trip with my sister. And then while on the trip, I remember back episodes from my life and sort of what led me to this point in the trip. And, but yeah, it's all about, like, fucked up shit that happened in my childhood and then how that kind of person becomes a comedian later on.
Right.
You need trauma. And in order to be funny. No, you don't actually need that, but it did have a role in my life. But yeah, it's a funny memoir, but I would definitely say to your audience, it's also heartfelt. So if you're not if you don't want to feel any emotions, you know, just read it in small bursts. Because there is some emotional stuff in this book.
Is it is there something triggering in the book for people that they should know about? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of triggering. If you're triggered by... So in the Grand Canyon, we had to poop into a can.
Uh-huh. Why?
Because... So in the Grand Canyon, they do something called leave no trace camping. So you leave nothing behind. And so you can't even like bury your shit. You have to poop into it. They built like this thing, they called it the Groover, and they put a toilet seat on top of a can and that's what you shit in. And then they
who's they? Are you traveling with Sherpas or something that are doing this for you?
They're river guides. Okay. And they're like real tan, dusty young men. And they had to like by like the third day, it took two men to carry the shit can.
Oh my God.
God.
So yeah, you know what they do? They take those cans and they slap an El Paso refried beans label on it and put it on the shelf at Dollar General.
It was the best view I've ever had while taking a shit for sure. But it was really nasty smelling by the end, but there's a guy in Flagstaff, Arizona, that his whole business is cleaning out the Groovers from these river trips. Like he's like, y'all don't want to mess with this. Right. I'll take it on. Oh. And so there's a whole little cottage industry has popped up around cleaning out these poop cans.
That guy takes it to his home toilet and just does the dump there. Oh, I love talking about bowel movements. I'll talk about it for all day long, day and night. So what was your first of all, you're a comedian, a writer, you've done stand up. Obviously you're not doing stand up much right now. Have you done any of these weird like virtual shows yet?
I did one and that was it for me. I really loved it.
They're not great. They're not fun to watch. That's all I know. No offense.
No, it was really awkward.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just going to wait. I've taken breaks from stand-up before, so it doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
I'm very sad that venues might close and that stand-ups are losing their income. Luckily, I'm very grateful to have other income, like writing for TV and stuff. So that's my husband.
What are you? Oh, hi, Hub. Hi, Hubs. Is he in the biz?
He's a director, yeah.
Oh, really? A director? Well, maybe he wants to see some of my work. Does he know my work?
Yeah, he's familiar with your work.
Does he do features or just TV?
Did you work with his company?
Have I worked with him before?
Yeah, he's directed, what was it, Rory's documentary? It's not out yet, but he directed a film with Rory Scovel.
Oh, okay. I think we might have had something to do with that.
Has he worked with Steve Bannon, the Hollywood producer, Steve Bannon?
He has a general set.
How many shirts is he wearing right now?
Scott's wearing one.
How long did it take you to write the book? And what, first of all, how do you get a book? How do you go? You have an agent that goes,
yeah,
you should write a book. Or was it you going, I have to write this book?
I've always wanted to write a book before I even knew I wanted to be a comedian. So it was always kind of part of the plan in my mind or dream.
Yeah.
But I had to do a long proposal, 35 pages. And then we shopped it around, and that the whole process from that to this coming out was 3 years.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work.
It's crazy. It's makes you not want to do anything ever again.
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, especially if you're going to write about your own life, even if it's silly stuff, you're you start to hate yourself after a while and you're just sick of it. And you think no one's going to care about this.
My thing I think about, cause I could sit down and kind of write some stories from my, I've done, there's a lot of, I could do a whole thing on my stabbing, being stabbed, and my problems with the QAnon, all sorts of chapters in my life. But I'm how much do I want to, how much do I want to spill the beans on everything, you know, be that revealing? But I mean, at some point, it sounds hard.
It was really hard. You don't have to reveal all of it, but even just a little bit can feel there's a lot in this book that I've never talked about publicly. And so it's a little nerve wracking. Oh God, what are people going to say?
How are you able to, aside from doing this prestigious show with its thousands of listeners, how are you able to promote the book? You can't do book signings and readings and stuff.
No book signing or tour. I've done some really, this is definitely by far the most, people that I've spoken to virtually about the book, all my little book tour events. So it's 10 people and it's mostly my family, hey, but it's just so weird. I had this whole tour planned and all that. And it's that got canned.
Did I see something that you said I noticed you said you, you're doing some kind of online reading and then it got shut down because of trolls.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know how it works, but I did one where some people somehow got a hold of the link and then they were able to unmute themselves.
Oh, boy.
And they just started screaming out shit. There was maybe 10 other people in this thing and they were all really sweet, middle-aged to older women, including my dad and his girlfriend. And they're Sarah's a crack whore. I'm just
really? Who are, so are you a light? Are you a lightning rod of some kind? You're political, I guess, but
I have had dust ups with certain online fandoms before. Never your fandom, which has been very wonderful to.
I hope so. I do feel bad. Thank sometimes you, people that associate with me, they sometimes get, not my fans, but by guilt, association, you know, somebody will get the shit that I get will transfer to somebody else because they are doing something with me.
Well, yeah. And sometimes for an outsider, I might not know the inside language of a fandom. And so they might just be kidding, but I'll take it as what the fuck? Leave me alone. But I'm talking about bad stuff where I was threatened and
who are your enemies?
My enemies, I don't even want to say because they shall not be named.
Fair enough.
But,
we will discuss after your appearance and try to suss out who you've wronged. I kind of have an idea.
I refer to them as Shithead Island, where it's just an island of these certain fans of certain.
Wait, that's a great idea for a show. Shithead Island?
Yeah.
We found the dumbest people in the world.
Who's on that island, Tim?
I'm not going to say. I don't know any dumb people. But that'll be fun to get, like, these are truly dumb, dim-witted people. And they have to just figure things out.
Basic stuff. Yeah. Super basic.
Yeah. But I'm at peace with it. I've learned how to keep them at bay.
Yeah.
But I don't get into it anymore.
Don't feed the trolls, as we say.
My entire life right now is about owning the lips. That's it.
Are you... We should go. We should move. We should let Sarah go, maybe. I don't know where we are on the show. But I just wanted to ask you one thing, because I was going to talk about it later. But, you know, have you been watching the Democratic Convention?
I watched a little bit of it. I keep losing power.
Oh. Oh, you're in Silver Lake and you guys are getting power outages.
Yeah. But I have watched a little bit of it. What are you... I thought maybe that some of the intimate... face-to-face was actually pretty effective in comparison to a large auditorium, but that's pretty much my only impression.
Fig Newton is shaking his head. He knows everything. This guy in the Zoom, he knows everything. He's got the right opinion about... People are writing me like crazy, especially after the... What's the guy's name that sang the...
For Stills?
What, yeah, Stills. Billy, and somebody else.
Billy Porter?
Billy Porter.
I thought that was nuts, and people were saying that it reminded them of like a Tim and Eric video.
And here's my thing. I don't give a shit.
Give me a little break here.
What do you want them to do? Like, what wouldn't be shitty? What wouldn't be...
You don't think they could have improved that video at all?
I don't think it matters. I think it's not... It's such nonsense.
They could have had Death Grips play.
They could have had nobody. Right. They should have probably had nobody, but it was what it was. It's like, did you not like the pans or the way it was keyed? Like, who fucking cares? And also... If you're on Twitter telling and you know about me, and you're all thinking that it's a Tim and Eric sketch, that video is not for you, right?
Yeah,
it's for like some old biddy, some like mom or something. Like it's harmless. It's well done. Well, I mean,
but
it's well
performed.
But is that
a problem that it's for old biddies? Like they only had two people under the age of 50 speaking.
It's a little lo-fi, Tim, is what it is.
But
it's a little.
So, did you want more production value? Did you want more production value?
I get why people are making fun of it.
Trump probably would have done better with that.
There's no good way to do any of that stuff anymore.
There's no way to not be corny. I don't know but people also get very angry if older politicians try to be cool.
Yeah, there's no winning.
So it's sort of like, they're dorks. Like, you kind of have to be a huge fucking dork to get to that level of government.
Yeah.
Remember the Model UN kids in high school? Those people were dorks.
I agree that the most effective thing was seeing all these people, like, on their Zooms or in their homes, looking like normal people, like kind of talking about their experiences. I think that's way more effective than any speech that was given, or certainly more effective than the Stephen Stills song. But I just think everybody should chill out that these conventions are always shitty. They're always poorly produced, or they're just, they don't matter anymore because they don't really serve an actual practical function.
Yeah.
You know,
like, it's not going to be a Kanye West concert with like a moving stage coming down and like artists like Beyonce's
that would be worse, wouldn't it? I mean, I kind of want it to be clunky.
We don't want them to spend that money doing that.
I know. Like, I want to spend it I want it to be clunky and stupid and boring because it's not supposed to be this big Steven Spielberg eventized thing.
When in doubt, I have a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Fine, make fun of them. We're going to make fun of everything we can because that's what we do. But it's not. It's really making fun of something that does not matter at all.
You can't do that.
So everybody, chill out.
No, of course not.
And if you disagree, Sarah, I want you to feel free to speak your mind and call me later. And you know.
Yosemites.
You put me on the spot, Tim. Jesus Christ.
Lord, come on, man.
I wanted to get into it. I thought you were going to be really combative about this, and we'd have a great clip for the show. All right, Sarah, well, I'll let you go. Congratulations on putting out your first memoir. Everybody, my audience must buy 10 copies each.
10 each. Thank you so much.
And I'll get a little piece of that later. The old office hours kickback. Take care. Stay cool.
Bye.
Let's hear it for Sarah Schaefer. Doug, you wanted to ask her a question, right?
Did I?
You did.
She's gone now.
What was the question you were going to ask?
I have no idea.
You don't want to know about her family?
No, it wasn't about that.
You wanted to ask about her father, Paul.
Oh. Yes, yes.
Trying to lob you up something fun.
You lobbed me up, and I forgot about that joke.
Casey.
I wanted to know why her dad, Paul, always insists on playing with the band.
The organ
when they appear on Letterman. Yeah. He always wants to jam along.
Hey, Sonic Casey. Hi, Casey. Hi, Casey.
Boop, boop, boop. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Casey. How you doing?
Oh, I'm not Casey.
That's not Casey.
That's your name. It says Casey Da Pulta.
Yeah, it's a creep. It's my girlfriend logged in. Didn't change the name. It's a whole thing.
Well, let's call you Casey. Want another one? Right. Where's my what another one? All right. How can I help you today, Casey?
Can I say
Casey?
Something relatively serious real quick?
Yes, please. This is a serious show.
Here we go.
Dealt with some like dark times. Your everybody's like the whole Trinity.
Sure.
You guys have helped me through some shit.
And, talk about the shit. What kind of shit?
Oh no.
Just like mental health stuff and anxiety and depression. But it's you guys are awesome. And,
thank you. What's your name? I don't want to keep calling you Casey.
I'm Bill.
Bill.
Yeah.
Bill okay, Casey.
Good.
Wasn't he the governor of Pennsylvania?
Bob Casey was, and Bob Casey Jr.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Has the anxiety getting better? You working on that?
It's something I've kind of dealt with. You know, I've seen some professional men women to help with it, but I don't want to bring the show down, but it's super cool. Like the stuff that you guys do, like it. You know, makes me smile and like
that makes me that you know what that makes me smile. It makes me
I like
smile.
To
it,
laugh
it,
and have fun.
It, 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 how excited are you about Moonbase news, everybody? Moonbase coming to Showtime in the fall. That's huge.
I feel like I'm up in the moon.
He's on the moon. Well, yeah. Shit. What's his name again? Not Bob. I got Bob in my head.
Bill.
Thank you, Bill, for your kind words. It is our duty to entertain you, to make you feel better. You and you're also. Are you a member of the Patreon community? Be honest.
Yeah, it's a very absolutely.
Bill, then if you get into a dark place, you reach out to us. Okay, you've got a community around here. You got a community that loves you and supports you.
What?
Thanks. We love you too.
Love you, Bill.
Bye, Bill. Where's Fig Newton? Because I want to talk to him. He was shaking his head.
Let's hear it.
Fig?
You gotta be nice to Fig. He helped us with our sound check earlier.
Oh, yes, of course. Fig, what's on your mind?
I was gonna say congratulations to Vic on moving into his new bedroom. Congratulations to Steve Bannon on his new boat.
Fig, I told you, you got to go in the middle of your screen.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Am I not?
There you go.
Close enough. To your left. There you go, right there.
Oh, nice.
Go ahead, Fig.
I'm actually going to, I was going to say, Lemon Twigs, very excited about that. Huge fan. The other thing I was going to talk about was the DNC a little bit, but you guys kind of already talked about that. The only reason I was shaking my head, I feel like the speeches could have been, you know, more prepared for the virtual environment. They were giving them like, or at least they could have added the sounds. That would have been good.
What's that?
I would have if they added in like crowd sounds or something.
Well,
but
that was
would that have been
annoying. The Zoom clapping sound, just sure. That sound is terrible. Yeah. They could have done something.
You know
that.
What? I
and
just
this, the blank faces.
They gotta get
clapping.
Us on the drops.
I mean, seriously,
I'll volunteer my time
anything.
To do.
Yeah,
applause.
I don't know. I think it was pretty rough, but.
But you hear what I'm saying. It's like, first
it doesn't
of all,
matter. It's a pep rally, but
yeah, they were just being like, why don't we try? It's the first time this has ever happened because of the Trump virus.
Yeah.
You know, the reason pandemic. the reason this is all shitty is because of the Trump virus. So, yeah. I mean, they could have just done no convention and just run Trump virus.
Honestly, the best thing is to keep Biden away. We don't need to see him.
But I thought the stories about Biden, about him, you know, with his family history and his the Amtrak stuff is good. You know, I find it to be a little moving, and I you know, I hope. As you look at a guy's long, long history in politics, he's going to have lots of, you know, dark. He's going to have lots of like kind of things that he would probably do differently now, as you know, 30 years go by.
Maybe. Maybe I don't know.
Well, I mean, you look at his platform and you look at the issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they're much more liberal than his. Something he did in the 90s might represent. I mean, look at what Noam Chomsky says about his climate proposals. They're very progressive and very, you know, important. So I get it. You know, the guy's not the guy's not a saint. He's made a lot of mistakes. But look, you know, it goes back to the thing. I mean, you can have the boiled chicken or you can have the plate of dog shit. What are you going to do? What are you going to eat, folks?
That's a lot of burgers.
Wait, where's Vera?
She had to cancel.
What?
Sorry.
I made a big deal. I made a big deal about this.
But you know, we have an important call.
She's going to get a nasty note from me, believe me.
Not that Fig Newton wasn't with Siri. We have another serious call. Let's get it serious before the lemon twig.
Thank you, Fig.
With Kevin Boeri, who's going to talk about what's going on in Lebanon while we're gonna get serious for a moment.
I want to know.
Hey, everybody. Sefe, Fef, Sefa, hi, if we're still doing that.
Sefe, Fef.
We are still doing that. How dare you?
All right. You know, Tim, I was thinking the Everybody Loves Dog song would be great for the Dog of the Month Club.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And people that were at the Tim and Eric tour know what that is, but people who weren't don't. And I'm so annoyed. It's been this thing on the back of our minds to put out that music from the show, and it just hasn't happened because we're too lazy. But we got to do it. And Vic's videos that he made for it are just tremendous. So what's happening in Lebanon?
Right. Now so on
like that transition,
there was a massive explosion that probably everybody saw on Twitter, social media, one of the biggest non-nuclear explosions in the world that left, you know, 200 people dead, 300,000 people homeless, 7,000 injured. So bad, bad stuff.
Well, thank you for reporting on it. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
You're just teeing.
It's been pretty heartwarming to see the relief effort going on. There have been, like, strangers going into cleanup. You see videos of strangers cleaning up people's homes before they're even able to come back to them. But right now, there's also like a lot of needs to rebuild hospitals. And so there's some great organizations that are working on the ground. And there's a place if people care to donate. I know a lot of people need, a lot of people are in need right now. And so if anyone can, you know, if anyone has it in them to send some money to Lebanon,
they're already buying 10 books. They're already buying 10 books.
They are already buying 10 books.
But yes, where can people go? Org
called sealus-usa.org.
Very nice.
They have partnered with the
Hold that up again and center it a little bit people can see it. Hold that up and center it a little bit more. Back.
There we go.
Back.
Right there it is. There you go.
Seal-usa.org?
Yep. Social and Economic Action in Lebanon.
This isn't some kind of Steve Bannon grift, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. There's a great website. You can vet them. It's a U.S. 501c3, so
Do you think about there's no conspiracies here. This is just sort of just poorly managed port situation.
So it was a lot of negligence right now. I mean, we're looking, there's still an ongoing investigation. And whatever the root cause of it was, I would say, is just systemic corruption of this political class that's been in power since 1975.
Wow.
So since the beginning of the Civil War, the same people who fought each other, killed each other, ended up staying in power after the Civil War. They turn their militias into political parties because of political support from the U.S. and other countries kind of trying to prop up their own figureheads in the country.
I have a question.
Doug
has a question.
What is the stuff that blew up?
Ammonium nitrate.
And what is that?
It's fertilizer. Basically what Timothy McVeigh used in Oklahoma.
But what is... It's used for fertilizer?
It's used for fertilizer, but it can be weaponized.
And why was it...
Why was it stored there for so long?
Dealings.
Why aren't they fertilizing with it?
Let him answer the question!
There was a ship that came weird roundabout way, ended up in the port, got impounded, and then sat there for 6 years. It's unclear if people were kind of like selling some of the ammonium nitrate to shady dealings.
Right, black market stuff.
Some have speculated that had the 3,000 tons been there, the explosion would have been much
I heard
much
there was larger. A fair amount of Sarah Schaefer's shit in a can in that pile as well. Like all that stuff gets...
Yeah, that's a good fertilizer.
We're hoping that we can get some of that.
It's terrible. It seems like
and,
that.
And what's...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's hard for me because I'm Lebanese. I grew up there, spent a lot of time there, and I'm in Boston. So it's like, what can I do? Come on this show and kind of let people know what's happening. And this is just like the most recent tragedy in like a year of a lot of bad stuff happening, an economic crisis, a big popular revolution that started in October, and then kind of the powers that be and remain kind of really clamped down on that, shut it down. And then after this explosion, people went out to protest, and then security forces like injured 700 people again, Jesus. While the hospitals were already overrun. So it's pretty upsetting, but Beirut's been destroyed eight times in its 1,000-year history, and so I hope and believe we'll be able to recover from this.
All right. Well, thank you for the latest on the situation in Beirut. We are. Thank you for directing my audience. Please, everybody, if you can afford it, I'm not the most prosperous audience.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Thanks for having me.
This is terrible. This is terrible news. I mean, we have some news that's bad in the world, but this is truly despicable. Variety magazine out now with Fred Armisen, John C. Reilly, astronaut comedy ordered at Showtime. Hello? Oh, I'm under here. They don't even hyperlink my name. This is tremendously disrespectful. How could this be? All systems go, says Showtime. Fred Armisen, Tim Heidecker, and John C. Reilly. See, that's the news. I'm going to retweet that one. Can you imagine how I'm actually focused on doing the show with breaking news going on? It's like when Howard Stern was doing the 9/11 show, but the opposite of that, because this is all positive, except for the Variety. I'm going to call Variety. Matt, we have to call Variety now.
I'll get him on the line.
I was thinking about you're killing a dog in a movie.
Yeah.
You know they kill Cujo? I mean, that's not...
But he was the villain.
That's the villain.
Well, still, they kill him.
They kill him off.
I don't know if this is true. This is just what the guy told me.
I mean,
no, if Cujo is the killing villain, then you got...
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you got to do it.
Didn't Old Yeller die?
They shoot him, yeah.
All right.
They shoot him in the head.
Let's talk to... Sarah Schaefer was our... Let's talk to Sarah Schaefer again. This is the only show to have the same guest on twice. No.
More.
Let's talk to my friends, Brian and Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Deandre.
Lizard.
Deodoria. From Lemon Twigs. How you doing, boys? You doing all right? Your record's coming out, man. You're coming out with a new record. It's the greatest day of the year. Tomorrow is... Where are they?
Hello?
Hello. Hello, Brian. How you doing?
Hello. Good.
Yeah, we can hear you guys. A little... Hey. Can we get a little louder? Can we get a little louder?
Get closer.
How are you doing? Come on. There you are.
This is exciting.
This is exciting, man. You got your new record coming out.
Yeah.
Quiet, boys.
Is it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. wow, I love seeing you. I do. So
we love being on. Being on the show.
I don't know if both of you were on, but maybe it was just Brian, but you're one of the first early guests of Office Hours so many years ago, 4 years ago.
Wow. That was Brian.
Yeah. So this is an exciting new record you've got coming out. Songs for the general public. Everybody should pre-order and do whatever they can do to support my friends. Can I just ask you guys, I'm sorry if you get this, but are you related?
Oh, wow.
To him?
Yeah.
Am I him?
Yeah, to him. Are you two related? Here's my question. And I'm sorry. I'm going to do a little bit of a Marin deal with you. A little bit of a memory lane deal. And I need you to just go with me on this.
We're going to start a blues rock jam?
No.
Like now I'm making
that kind of
merit. Oh, Telly,
what kind of guitar do you play?
Oh, that's Telly. Good.
I'm just too old. What are you, a Fender guy?
I'm just too old for that shit.
No, I want my audience to understand your background, where you came from, and how you guys got started. Because I just saw a video of you guys playing. Like that video came. I don't know if it's been online for a while, but. You guys pre-meeting Rado, I think, doing some songs at like a talent show.
Yeah.
So you guys, when did you start? How did you guys kind of break into doing this professionally?
Well, we were kid actors. We were child stars.
You were? Wait, I know that about you, Michael, I think. Brian, did you also do the work in that film?
I had no success on film or TV. Yeah, but he was on Broadway.
Oh, really?
In big roles. He was Gavroche in Les Mis, and then he was the Flounder in The Little Mermaid, the biggest parts you could have if you were a kid.
Really?
Making this up?
Is this no, they're
no,
not.
No, I thought...
But Michael, you were in a movie, right?
I was in a couple movies, yeah.
I mean, okay, so there was that.
It's Ethan Hawke.
With
Ethan Hawke and
what
and
movies?
Liz Banks. That's what we call her in the business.
Liz Banks.
Liz Banks and Chris Pine.
Chris Pine?
Yeah, I tell you. Well, I'm not gonna. I don't want to talk about the stars. I don't want to talk any. I don't want to. Talking
were you
track.
Traded in the trafficking of young child actors? Were you part of that scene?
No.
No. Good. Nobody had molested you on set.
No.
But okay, so you come obviously. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I can hear it in your music. There's a musical theater DNA running through you. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So well, you come from that world.
Yeah, there's like a few like Sondheim shows that we knew a lot of.
We did a lot of community theater too before we got into the professional stuff.
But when you're in high school, you are basically recording demos and writing songs, and you get that demo to Jonathan Rado. Is that who the first person you reach out to?
Yeah, it kind of happened like we did the acting stuff, and then we started to. Completely phase out of the acting stuff, and then we were like didn't really have a direction. We got with a lot of different people. Like there was the guy who did the music for Alvin and the Chipmunks movie and tried to make us into he like was a like a pop band. He was a rapper, and he said and he was like this guy who when I was like 13 or something, like he would get us, they would buy us McDonald's every week, and then we would come in, and then he came in one time with the and said, hey, let me have some of your French fries while we were listening to a track. And then he ended up drinking the whole thing of the French fries, ate the whole thing. He was like a real crazy jerk, you know what
like,
I mean?
That was a real
this
power.
Guy sounds like an asshole.
Yeah.
Is it Ron Perlman? Who's the New Kids on the Block?
Yeah,
guy?
Perlman.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman?
Lou Pearlman.
Lou Pearlman.
He was like a Backstreet Boy guy. He wasn't the New Kids guy. He was a.
His name was.
There
wasn't
bad New
his
Kids.
His name
guy,
was Loop Earlman.
Loop Earlman.
Okay, so then you were like, how did you go?
we were pretty directionless, and then Brian.
When we discovered Boxygen, we were just obsessed.
Really?
Like, you know, the biggest Boxygen.
And then I would have been 14, and Brian would have been 16, and then we would have sent him our stuff, and then he said, "You want to come and
record
with us?" So then we met up in New York
on a school break, and we recorded that.
And then we went to Los Angeles on the break, the school break.
You had spring? Was it spring break? Maybe.
It was winter.
Winter break over the holidays. You are 14 and 16 years old.
We would have been then 15 and
right. Okay, 15 and 17 years old. You basically send blind, as I did, as Eric and I did with Bob Odenkirk, as people do.
Right.
You just blast somebody with your stuff. He loves it and says, if you can come out. Does he know how old you are at that point? He must.
That's part of it. Yeah. I think we related to the fact, I mean, Boxygen.
They were really young when they did their
high school albums that they did. So, I mean, we've related to that.
So you'd make the whole first record during that break, or is it sort of a back and forth a little bit?
No, we did 2 weeks, and we made the whole. I did like a bunch of like string overdubs and horn overdubs after that, but all the instruments.
Just Brian playing all that stuff.
Right.
But all the instruments were recorded in that 2 weeks, and most of the vocals. But there was some.
That is amazing. You said horns, and Doug starts playing this weird horn thing. You hear this thing? Okay, and then you guys explode because that first record of yours, in my opinion, is like, it's got to be on the top. It's got to be on a list of like greatest first albums by an artist. That's like so fucking strong.
Thank you, Tim.
And then, so what's different about the way you make records now? Like, how did you make this this new record? Was it still kind of a home recording affair?
What a terrible question to ask.
Well, we were jumping back and forth between here and radio studio in Los Angeles.
Oh, you did a lot of it there.
Yeah, the whole operation. I did some of it just at night when Rado wasn't in the studio using his equipment. And then Rado helped us a lot with the post production, and we redid things, sounds, and everything. It was a lot of like. I don't know.
The main difference, I think, is with our first record, we were so enamored with recording on tape and the way Rado recorded, and we just loved the sound of his studio.
Yeah.
And he was still figuring it out, you know. But now, you know, it's a number of years later, and Rado's studio is like...
Everything's upgraded. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty...
Just developed a lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty, like...
Our standards have, you know, shifted.
Well, let's transition to what we all want to talk about, what we all need to talk about, is your involvement with my record.
Oh, we came in for like 2 days.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
these were big days.
That's a great
band.
I have a little video of you guys doing a little harmonies.
Huh?
Do I have your permission to play that right now?
Sure.
There's no nudity in it or anything. You're not you know, saying the N-word or anything.
It sounds like a dope band.
I just want to show because that before I show it, it was so exciting for me to get to have you guys come in and get to work with you because I'm such a fan and I'm really so impressed with your talent, like your skills.
Now I'm getting excited.
And your instincts and your knowledge of music and you know, we did a few songs together, and then, you know, Brian did a lot of overdubs on the record, but then getting to see you guys sing together doing these harmonies, like some oohs and ahs and stuff, but also to see the way you guys work together was really fun because you're brothers and you're like finishing each other's sentences, and I felt like it was like, I assume you guys get along well, but it had kind of like a it had like a Davies Brothers kind of vibe going on, you know, like the Kinks, kind of a little arguing, a little like no, you did like it's so. This is the moment, and we'll just play this real quick, and you could see it.
Oh gosh.
And how did your hair get so long, Michael?
It's kind of fun.
Pills.
It's a wig, clearly.
Of course.
All right, here it is. Can you play it? Oh, hold on. They're having an issue.
It's up.
But it's kind of fun.
Here it is.
Let's come away.
Yeah, we'll see that.
I don't like. So maybe.
You can put it
no,
there.
No, I don't
want to.
I don't
want to
follow it then.
But
no.
Yeah. Oh, come. I'm not hearing. Yeah, I don't hear it either.
Now let's just do the original thing that you were saying. Oh, come away. Wait, what? What are you? I don't want to go.
All right. Could you not hear that, guys? Hear.
They couldn't hear it.
No. Oh, okay.
Well, they said they can't. What are they?
I assume that it was just some genius arrangement.
It was, actually. It was very pretty. But you guys are both finishing your sentences. Like, no, you do this. It's really, I loved it. I was in heaven working with you guys.
It was a lot of fun. And the songs are great. It's a great record.
And, you know, I think I said this, but the video for Fear of Death is... It's everybody that's in that video is on the record, but not the ones playing that song. So that solo in that song, which is amazing, is you, Brian, playing it. But it's some other dude, Mike Bloom, pretending to play it. And he learned how, like, I showed it to you. I was like, are you okay with this? Because I don't know what the rules are for that. Like, it's not, it's whatever, right? It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. I wouldn't have remembered playing that. You know, I would have just assumed that you overdubbed it, because you know, I mean, I think we did dub over that, which was interesting about that song was that we dubbed over some other instruments, and it was like we were playing the live drums, but it was a whole other take.
Right? Yeah, you're right. We played over the original take and then took out the original stuff. So what are you guys going to do? I saw you were on Seth Meyers. That's cool.
Yeah, we did that. Did you watch the show?
No, I didn't. I just watched the clip. I just watched your clip. I didn't watch the whole show. I'm not watching those shows.
That show is crazy. But, I mean, it's bizarre. But the clip was good.
How much overthinking from their side went into your appearance?
Huh?
How much overthinking on their side went into your appearance? Like, how many? Was it easy?
They didn't do anything. Oh, okay. Yeah, we could have done a video of us on the webcam, you know, whatever it was, but
we wanted to
do it cool because we thought, well, it's gonna be a
pretty high production
value. Right. Right.
But then we
watched the show, and it's like he's on a webcam and everything. And
oh, he was there.
No, like
oh, right.
No,
yes, I see what you mean.
No, everybody was just, you know.
I know. They still haven't figured it out. They keep trying to, like, set design everyone's homes. They're putting, like, a picture of a sailor behind him. And
really awkward with the jokes and then the no laughter. And I mean, all of those shows, I mean. Yeah,
it really exposes the hollowness of those shows. Like when you take the fake laughter out, you're like, "This shit's not funny."
What they do in WWE is they put the whole lot.
Sorry, the guys are freezing cold.
My fingers are numb.
You know, we also there's something we need to address from the YouTube chat going on.
Uh-oh, what?
Which is they're calling us out on our inconsistency about shirt policies, but. I do want to clarify that
you're wearing a shirt.
Yeah, they both have shirts, but the way it's cropping on YouTube, you need to stand up a little more to show that you are indeed wearing a shirt.
Michael, can you just prove to our audience that you are wearing a shirt?
The nipples are covered.
Pants.
Oh.
By the way, there's no policy. I might allow shirtlessness.
No, I wouldn't. I would not wear a shirt. You just can't see the thing.
I will say...
Go ahead, Brian. WWE, you have the final word.
This is just... What they do is they have the whole backstage locker room. They bring them all out, and they react to things. So they'll have wrestlers that react to... If someone does a move, they go, oh, no! Oh, wow! But they should do that with those TV shows and have the staff laugh at their own jokes.
I think they do that a little bit, but it's not. Maybe the audio is not coming through well. I don't know.
I'm in no place to judge other people's.
Have you guys explored what's the deal with like playing live? Like, are you going to do any kind of anything like in a pod? Are you just not worrying about it right now? You're just letting that go.
I just want to do more records. I want to be able to put out more than one record a year. You know.
Well, listen. If we could get more records from you, that would be a blessing. But I have to say, I took John C. Reilly to see you guys play. I took John C. Reilly to see you guys play, like whenever you played in L.A. last time. We were like, we wet our pants. We were flipping out. It's like you guys put on the best live show, I think, by far.
What's it like being the coolest rock guy group in town?
Okay.
that's great.
It's up to you.
Thank you.
So I hope you can get back out there and the audience can see you in the flesh, because it is just like a fun dynamic. It's like going to see Bowie back in the Ziggy Stardust days. Okay? All right, guys. Congratulations on another smash. And
thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, I hope I see you in the flesh one of these days. And all the best.
Okay.
Yeah. Guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Let's hear it for the Lemon Twigs.
The pounding. Wow. The pounding.
Hey. What's up with I can't see people's names anymore. One person I want to talk to, she's wearing a green shirt with blonde hair and glasses. Yeah, her. But your name isn't appearing, so...
Oh, I got her.
Okay,
thank Sari.
You. Sari! How are you doing today? Are you doing all right?
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's going on?
My name is Sari. Right?
Yes.
You doing all right? You doing all
I'm
right?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm all right.
Oh, I just saw this text, guys. Sorry, I am freezing.
I'm
cold too. Yeah, all right.
Where are you calling from?
Ellsworth, Wisconsin.
Great. Thank God I'm poor. What do you have for me today?
No. It's not that. I'm a cheesehead.
Any?
Oh, yeah.
You have best wishes for me?
Why?
Why?
It's your time. No, I have a story about Joe Biden.
Whoa. You have a story about Joe Biden. Is this going to break some news?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. It's going to break.
Liar, dude. That's not true.
Okay, no, what do you have?
It's just a bad, bad remember. Every time I see Joe Biden, I think about, I was a heroin addict for years and years and years.
Yikes.
And now I haven't been for years and years. But when I was getting off of heroin, I spent 3 days watching the trial of...
Anita Hill? Or yes. Clarence Thomas?
Thank you.
Anita Hill.
Yeah. No brain damage at all here. Yeah, Clarence Thomas. And in my, like, haze and fuzz of my mind, I fell in love with Joe Biden. And I kept having, like, dreams and visions of him. Like, we were in an elevator making out.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And then it's always had this, like... had this feeling like in the back of my mind that we were sort of meant to be together.
Oh my God.
A long time ago. But it was, I just thought I'd let you know I had that going with Biden.
Are those feelings, do those feelings kind of still linger when you see him? You have this kind of like looking at an ex-boyfriend kind of feeling?
That's exactly what it is. Like, oh, I can't believe I dated that guy. I'm excited about it.
Maybe it happened. Maybe in the haze of your come to rehab, it was some kind of buried memory.
Oh, my God.
I love watching the old clips of him because he's bald and then suddenly he's got hair. It's like the plugs.
I don't know what I was saying. It was sort of like a spiritual, like his personality and my personality. And he was looking out for me because he was looking out for Anita Hill. And so he was sort of a good father figure.
Well, he ended up screwing her.
Yeah, he wasn't looking.
I mean, not literally. Yeah. He ended up kind of... But didn't she come out and say that she would vote for him?
I don't know. I haven't paid attention to her. Is she out there?
I think that the opponent is so disgusting.
I know. Well, how did you get into heroin?
How did I get into heroin? Well, I was kind of a rich kid in the Bay Area, trying to act out and be down with the people. And
right. Sure. You fell into that Grateful Dead scene?
No, I was actually like right behind the Grateful Dead, like fuck the Dead.
Yeah. Oh, so more of like the punk scene.
I saw the Sex Pistols.
You saw the Sex Pistols in San Francisco?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. And so were you like a functional heroin addict? Like you could work and stuff? And
for a little bit at first, and then not.
Wow.
I mean, I wasn't like shaking a cup on the street or anything, but I did some stupid stuff to get money. And
but you got through it. I'm sorry to bring this back, but you know, you brought it up. I mean, I feel like it's fair territory. So, I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Sorry, and I'll pass. Thanks.
I'm glad to see you're doing well. I mean, how exciting that you are. What a thing to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time. I hate to give away my age, but yeah, it sucked. Coming off of heroin is the worst thing in the world. Anybody knows it's like the 3 days of coming off heroin is just like, it's almost as bad as quitting smoking cigarettes. But no, it's really bad.
I was going to say, it's got to be worse than that. It's been almost a week and I haven't had any peanut M&Ms, so that's kind of big.
Don't even say it. So.
Okay, cool. I think that Joe Biden story is very good. I like that very much.
Thanks for the call.
I hope it's all in your head now. Whenever you think of Biden, you think of me.
All right. And it's sorry, Sari?
It's Shari.
Shari. Shari G. All the best to you. Stay strong. Peace to you. Never mind the bollocks, you know. Never mind the bollocks. The Queen is a cunt. That's what I think. I think the Queen. I'm doing Fred, doing Johnny Rotten. I think the Queen is a. I told you the funniest thing we did on Moonbase, which is not in the show, but Fred and I doing that Johnny Rotten shit off, like where we're sitting around. You want us to act, do you? You want us to put on a little show for you, for the Coca-Cola and your advertisers. You want us to dance, do you? Should I stand in the mark? You love that for your General Motors advertising. Obviously, Fred does it much better. All right. What a show today, Matt.
Those old interviews of the Sex Pistols were...
You want me to perform, do you? Dance like a little monkey. Am I your little show pony?
How come all those guys, like Dylan, too, like when they're being interviewed, they just say the most...
They're just coy.
They just say the most opposite thing that they want to hear.
But what do you think? Let me try that.
No, I guess it's got to be mysterious. Hey, so Tim, do you think that you're the most popular musician...
I mean, what is popular?
What makes you so popular? I mean,
but no, seriously, what is popular? Like, is it what you think you've
sold,
popular is?
You've sold many records and seems to be...
Okay, then if that's the metric, okay. But I don't think in those terms.
Well, are you an artist?
I mean, no, man. I'm I do it with my eyes closed.
So are you words poetry?
That's your words, man. Those are your words. You know? Do you see me in the poetry section of Barnes & Noble, man?
Why do you think you're so popular and you resonate with the youth of today?
That's a question for you, man. I should be asking you that question. It's just easier and more fun to do that.
Right.
Than to start thinking about what the hell's going on. Let's talk to John Galanti over there on the big island of the UK.
Hey, guys.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Hey, everyone's all right. I'm fine over here. I've had a really stressful day. I dropped everything... So I could do like a technical test for my hopefully a new job.
Oh,
so fingers crossed.
You dropped everything. I thought you meant you literally dropped everything. You're like walking around with plates.
No, I know. I have a busy day as it is, but you know, websites every day here.
What did you?
I wanted to say,
go ahead.
Just if I may, I discovered the other day that the show, your show, Beef House, is available on Channel 4 on demand over here in the UK.
More breaking news.
I binged all the episodes, and my God, I thought it was hysterical. Particularly that fifth episode with the big city bus driver.
Oh, yes.
I'm dying of laughter.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, I had a great time. Fantastic show.
And, well, pass it around if you're in the UK. Channel 4, that's a prestigious...
Channel 4 on demand. All the Adult Swim stuff's on there, actually, all of a sudden.
Terrific.
So, it's great.
I got to get over there to the UK, man. Things are kind of getting back to normal there.
Yeah, I mean, I was in London the other day, first time I went in since February. I used to be there every single day. I went in just to get some stuff for my office, but it was weird. There was, I mean, the tubes were empty. There was a lot of tension.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's really taking it seriously.
Good.
It'll be a while before things get back to normal, man. I think, you know, even Christmas shopping and all that kind of stuff, people have got used to working from home here.
And then we
got
to worry about the second wave, right? Everyone's saying that there's this looming thing, which is so fucking scary, this, like, looming. And you got to be careful, because in the fall, when Moonbase comes out...
Oh, it's perfect. Yeah. Perfect, Tim. Everyone's going to be locked down again. They're going to want some content.
I guess so.
I think when these kinds of things happen, the experts are the ones that know. They're always the last ones we listen to. We as in the UK, they seem to not really take expert advice seriously. But, yeah, I'm expecting a second wave. I mean, every winter here, there is a flu outbreak anyway. It happens every time. So
it's no worse than the flu. All right, John, we have to wrap things up, but I'll see you and hopefully everybody else in the after hours, which is available only to Patreons at patreon.com/officehourslive. Please tell your friends. Doug, we should play your we did something last week on Office Hours, which was a very heated debate.
Was it after hours?
I believe it was. A little bit of a heated debate on Daft Punk, and I was critical of a Daft Punk song by name of Around the World.
Around the world.
Yeah, so a little bit of an annoying song for me. But I said, well, I'll give you a sample. I'll give you a line, and then, Doug, you can take it and make a big hit song with it. And Doug has done his duties, and he'll play us out today with, what is it called? I'm Sitting Down.
You want the, to go out with. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching and supporting Sarah Schaefer. Go get Grand, a memoir now. Go get Songs for a General Public by the Lemon Twigs, my favorite. And support the charity that we talked about, the Beirut thing. Here it is. I'm sitting down.
I'm standing up. I'm standing up. I'm sitting.
Is it going to kick in?
I'm sitting.
This is the longer version. This is the 12-inch remix.
I'm standing. Sitting.
That's meant for the Guantanamo Bay kids.
I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down. I'm standing down.